I like Western movies. I like old cowboy movies, black and white cowboy movies. And this one's about two fellows who are watching an old cowboy movie, and it came to the part where the cowboy was on his horse, and he was, you know, full speed ahead, and he was heading right towards a cliff. And the one fellow said to the other fellow, I'll bet you $10 that he rides right over that cliff without stopping. And the other guy said, well, you're wrong. Okay, the bet's on. And sure enough, the cowboy went right over that cliff without even stopping. And so the fellow who lost the bet, he had to pay up. So he paid the guy $10. Well, the other guy started feeling a little bit bad about that thing, and he went to his friend, and he said, you know, I've got a confession to make. I've been feeling really guilty about our bet, and he said, I just want you to know that I had already seen that movie. I knew what was going to happen before it happened, and he said, I just wanted to let you know about that and give you your $10 back because that wasn't right. And the other fellow said, well, I have to also admit that I'd seen the movie too, but I didn't think he was going to do it again. Well, here we go. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. It's not the first time I've left my Bible at home. And I can't believe I did it again. It's not a good thing. But you're getting busy trying to get the kids and everybody in the van and back over here to the church for prayer meeting at 10 o'clock. We meet at 10 here at the church, the men do. And the ladies, of course, are welcome. My wife is here at that time, welcome to come pray. But we do that every Sunday and meet at 10 o'clock. And you're all welcome. All of you men are welcome to come and meet with us and pray. And we do that every Sunday. Acts chapter 3 this morning, I don't believe we have any announcements to make. And if we do have any announcements, then I'm just going to skip over them because I want to get into this message before it gets too late. And it's not going to be a long message, but I do want to point out some things to you this morning from Acts chapter 3. So let's begin reading. Acts chapter 3, let's start reading in verse number 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked in alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to preach your word. I thank you, Lord, for the message that you've given me, Lord, and how it's blessed me as I've prepared it throughout this week. And Lord, I just pray, God, that now you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, God, and empower me, Lord, to speak your word and with boldness and with courage, but also, Lord, in love. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would speak to the hearts of those who have gathered here, Lord. And Lord, may they realize, God, that I, in myself, Lord, have nothing to say to them, Lord. I have no instruction to give them, Lord, outside of what your word says. And Lord, I'm not here to glorify myself. I'm not here to exalt myself, Lord. I don't want to, Lord, do that at all. I want to exalt you. I want to exalt your Son, Jesus Christ, and lift his name up on high and not my own name. And I pray that you would, Lord, to set me aside now and, Lord, take over, this preaching time, Lord, and may everything that's said and done, Lord, truly bring honor and glory to you. In your name we pray. Amen. In our text this morning, we read about a wonderful miracle that takes place in the life of this man who was, the Bible says, born lame. This man, here in these verses, we see was marvelously healed and made whole. And it wasn't because of John. It wasn't because John was such a great Christian. And it really had nothing to do with Peter. But it had everything to do with faith in the name of Jesus Christ. And the Bible makes this very clear in verse 12, and where Peter, when he saw that the people were greatly wondering, he answered to them, he said, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" He said, don't look at us like we're something special. And if you look down in verse 16, the Bible makes it clear that through faith in the name of Jesus Christ, this man was made whole. It says, "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." In verse 6, Peter said to the lame man, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." I'm going to preach this morning from these verses on the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. What a name. What a name. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and hath given him a name which is above every name." And I submit to you this morning that it was not the words or the actions of either John or Peter that caused this man to rise up and walk. They were just in the right place at the right time. They were vessels of honor that God was going to use in this situation, but it wasn't because of them. It wasn't faith in the name of John. It wasn't faith in the name of Peter that healed this man and made him whole. It was faith in the name of the only begotten, virgin-born, perfect, sinless, crucified, and resurrected Son of God that caused this man to rise up and walk. In verses in chapter 4, after all of this comes about and the apostles are brought before the council, the Bible says Peter is brought before the council, and he says in verse 7, the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have ye done this?' Then Peter, in verse 8, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him did this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.'" There is none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. And it was the name of Jesus Christ. It was through faith in the name of Jesus Christ that caused this man to be able to rise up and walk. But before we look at how the Savior changed this man's life, I want to point out to you the seriousness of this man's condition. The seriousness of this man's condition. Now, this man was a cripple. He was a cripple. He couldn't walk. He had never been able to stand upon his feet before. He had to be carried from place to place, the Bible tells us. The Bible says he was lame from his mother's womb. He was born that way. He had never known anything different. And, you know, there's a lot of people like this man in the world today. They may not be crippled spiritually or crippled physically, but they are crippled spiritually. They're spiritual cripples because of sin. The Bible teaches that man is a natural born sinner. We're all born into sin. We're all born with a sin nature. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. We've all been crippled by sin, and that's why we need to be born again from above. Jesus said, you must be born again. Not only was this man a cripple, or not only was he crippled, but this man was captive. He was captive. He had no freedom. He couldn't move. He had to lay there day after day until someone decided that they were going to move him. He wasn't able to get up and to go here or to go there on a whim. He was bound by his condition. He was stuck in that awful state. He was a prisoner to the disease or the sickness that had crippled him from the time that he was in his mother's womb. The Bible says that he was above 40 years old, this man. He had been that way for a long time. He had been captive and caught in that situation for a long time. And you know, there's a lot of people today who are in the same situation because of sin. They may look like nothing is wrong on the outside. They may look like they've got it all together and that they're having the time of their life. They may look like nothing's wrong on the outside. They may look like they're free and they're enjoying their liberty, but in reality, they are in bondage to sin. Sin has not only crippled them, sin has enslaved them. Sin owns them. Sin doesn't serve them. They serve sin. They are in bondage to sin, and that's a serious situation. There's nothing a person can do about being born into sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men for all have sinned. That one man was Adam. When he sinned, because of his sin, sin passed upon all men, because we are all the children of Adam. We inherited our sin nature from Adam. We were born into sin, and there's nothing that we can do about that, but we don't have to let sin reign in our lives. Amen? There's a way out. There's something better. Jesus is the way. He came to set the captives free. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said in John, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There is a way out. We don't have to be in bondage to sin. We don't have to be under the power of sin. Jesus can make us free. This man was captive. He was crippled. But he was also confused. He was all messed up in his thinking. The Bible says he lay daily at the gate of the temple. Now, he wasn't in the temple. He was laying outside the temple. He was outside the gate of the temple. Now, you would think a man in this condition would have wanted to be in the temple. Now, the Bible says in verse 1 that John and Peter went up together unto the temple at the hour of prayer. The hour of prayer. Now, what is this man doing outside the temple at the hour of prayer? Why wasn't he inside? I mean, if he's in a bad way. He's crippled. I mean, he's captive. Why would he not be in the temple at the hour of prayer praying and trying to get some help spiritually? He wasn't there. He was outside the temple. But why? Maybe some priest had told him that there was no hope for a cripple like him. Maybe some self-righteous Pharisee had come and said, hey, your kind's not welcome in this place. Your kind is not welcome in the temple. I don't know. But I do know that this man was confused. He should have been in the temple, not outside the temple. This man was so confused that he thought the answer to his problems was money. The Bible says he laid daily at the gate to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. And notice when he saw John and Peter coming, he wasn't thinking, I wonder if these guys look like some good Christian men, some good godly men with some character. I wonder if these guys can help me spiritually. That's not what he was thinking. He was thinking, boy, I wonder if I could get some money from these guys. I wonder if these guys got any gold or silver for me. And that's when Peter said, hey, silver and gold have I none. That's how I know Peter was a Baptist preacher. He didn't have any money. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. And notice also that Peter, the Bible says, fastening his eyes upon him in verse 4, said, look on us. And the man gave heed unto them, the Bible says, expecting to receive something of them. The Bible says he gave heed to them. Peter said, look on us. Now, let me give you something to think about. What would cause somebody that we know, maybe in the same condition that this man was in spiritually, to look upon us, to look at us? What would they see in us? Would they see Jesus in us? Would they see a changed life in us? This man gave heed to Peter and to John. Why? Because he saw something in them that he had not seen in anybody else. He saw Christ in them. Do people see Christ in us? Do people see Christ in us? Can we say, look on us? look on us, like Peter and John said to this man. Peter said, I don't have any money to give you. I'm just a poor fisherman, but I know someone who can help you, and that someone is Jesus. His name is Jesus. This man was confused. He was sitting outside the temple when he should have been inside the temple. He thought money was the answer to all of his problems. He was confused. And you know, there's a lot of confused people out there. That's what sin does to people. It confuses them. It messes up their thinking, and that's why they need to feel welcome in a church where Christ is exalted, where the gospel is preached, and where the Word of God is preached without compromise. Listen, this book can straighten them out. The Word of God can get confused people thinking right. And we need to remember this morning that the local church is not a lodge or a sorority house. The church is a hospital for sin-sick people where confused and captive and crippled sinners can come and they can get help. That is what the church is all about. That's what this church should be. So we see the seriousness of this man's condition. He was in an awful state. Secondly, let me show you from the Bible how this man's life was forever changed by the Savior. I want you to see this morning that through faith in the name of Jesus Christ, this lame man was first of all caused to stand. He was caused to stand. Look in verse 7, the Bible says, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. The Bible says, and he leaping up, in verse 8, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. The Bible says that immediately his ankle bones received strength. He was strengthened to stand. He stood up. He had never done that before. This man was lying down at the gate of the temple when Peter and John saw him at first. But when he heard the name of Jesus and he believed on that name for the first time in his life, he was able to stand. He had never done that before, but because the name of Jesus was spoken to him and he believed on that name, he was able to stand. He was strengthened to stand. He was no longer lame. He was no longer a cripple. He had been made whole. And now everyone who knew him before, the people who carried him from place to place, the people who he asked alms of at the temple every day, all of those people who knew him saw him standing. They saw that he was a different man. They saw that he was changed. He was no longer the same crippled, captive, confused beggar he once was. He was a new creature in Christ. And the Bible says they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. They saw in him this new strength that he had received. They saw him walking, leaping, and praising God. And the Bible says they were amazed. They were amazed. And that's how it's supposed to be when a person gets saved. Amen? The change in our lives ought to be so evident, ought to be so drastic that the world around us can only wonder in amazement at what has happened to us. This man was given a new standing in the eyes of the world. He was no longer the same person. He was strengthened to stand. And I want you to notice now who he was standing with. Who was he standing with? The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 14 that he was standing with Peter and John. Now, this is when Peter and John were brought before the council. And they were being questioned about all of this preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus Christ. And guess who's standing right with them? This very same man. He chose to identify with the people of God. The Bible says in chapter 3, verse 8, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them. With who? Peter and John, into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. In verse 11, the Bible says, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. This man, after he was healed, entered into the temple and embraced the apostles. I mean, he was not ashamed to be associated with these men who preached in the name of Jesus Christ. And see, when a person gets truly saved, they're going to want to take a stand alongside the people of God. Amen? They're going to want to take a stand with God's people. They're going to want to identify with other Christians. They're going to want to associate with Bible-believing, Christ-honoring people in a local New Testament church. That's exactly what this man did here. Not only was he strong in his stand, and not only was he now standing with other believers, he was also sound in his stand because of his faith in Christ. Notice what Peter says in verse 16 of chapter 3. He says, "In his name, and his name through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." What a testimony that this man now had because of the work of God that had been done in his life. Even though he was a new believer, even though he was a babe in Christ, the Bible says he was sound in his faith. The word sound means firm, unbroken, not shaky, grounded in truth, unable to be overthrown. See, that's what faith in the name of Jesus Christ will do for a person. Faith in the name of Jesus Christ will do for anybody what it did for this man. This man was crippled, he was captive, he was confused, but after he had heard the name of Jesus Christ and had believed on that name, the Bible says he had soundness in him. He was sound now. See, faith in Christ brings strength, soundness, and stability into the lives of unsettled, unstable, and insecure people. Not only did he now have a new standing in the eyes of the world, and not only did he choose to stand with the apostles, not only was he sound in his stand, he now had a new standing before God. Amen? Because of his faith in the name of Jesus Christ, because of his belief in the Son of God, he was now giving a new standing before God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." I'm glad this morning that I have a right standing before God. And it's not because of anything that I have done. It's because of what Jesus did for me. It was through faith in the name of Jesus that this lame man was able to stand. And it's through faith in the name of Jesus that you and I as sinners can be given a right standing before God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." I don't care whose name it is. I don't care if it's Muhammad. I don't care if it's Buddha. I don't care if it's Joseph Smith. There is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Jesus can only save those sinners who come to Him. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 43, "To Him give all the prophets witness that through His name whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins." Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." 1 John chapter 5 and verses 12 and 13, the Bible says there, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." You study the lives of the apostles and the early Christians in the first century, you'll find that they were always talking about Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's all that they wanted to talk about. His name was always on their lips. They were always talking to somebody about Jesus, whether they wanted to hear or not. They were always speaking in the name of Jesus. It got so bad that they were commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus. They were threatened. They were persecuted. They were martyred for even mentioning the name of Jesus. And yet the Bible says they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Acts chapter 5, verses 41 and 42. Say, why? Why didn't they just stop talking in His name when they were threatened, when they were persecuted, when they were martyred? Why didn't they get the message? I'll tell you why. Because the name of Jesus meant something to them. And they truly believed that through faith in His name, through faith in the name of Jesus Christ, crippled, captive, confused sinners could be made whole. What does the name of Jesus mean to us? I know some Christians, sad to say, who are ashamed of the name of Jesus. Some of us, we hear people use Jesus' name as a cuss word, and we don't say anything about it. Some of us are ashamed of the name of Jesus. What does the name of Jesus mean to you this morning? Billy Sunday once said there are 256 names given in the Bible for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said this during a message, and he said, and I suppose that this was because he was infinitely beyond all that any one name could express. His name is Almighty. His name is Advocate. His name is Alpha. His name is Amen. His name is Angel of the Lord. His name is Ancient of Days. His name is Anointed. His name is Author. His name is Atoner. His name is Anointer. His name is Avenger. His name is Begotten. His name is Beloved. His name is Beautiful. His name is Blessed. His name is Branch. His name is Bread of Life. His name is Bridegroom. His name is Beginning. His name is Bright and Morning Star. His name is Brightness of the Father's Glory. His name is Compassion. His name is Caring. His name is Creator. His name is Captain. His name is Chief Cornerstone. His name is Christ. His name is Consolation of Israel. His name is Covenant. His name is Counselor. His name is Comforter. His name is Daysman. His name is Deliverer. His name is Desire of Nations. His name is Diadem. His name is Door. His name is Defender. His name is Elect. His name is Emmanuel. His name is Everlasting Father. His name is Express Image. His name is Eternal. His name is Finisher. His name is First Fruit. His name is Faithful. His name is First and Last. His name is Foundation. His name is Friend. His name is Fortress. His name is Fairest of 10,000. His name is Glorious God. His name is Gift. His name is Governor. His name is Gracious. His name is Good. His name is Great. His name is Gentle. His name is Guide. His name is Holy. 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 His name is Hearer. His name is Harmless. His name is Humble. His name is Heir. His name is Healer. His name is High Priest. His name is Head. His name is Hope. His name is High Tower. His name is Highest. His name is Honest. His name is Helper. His name is Image of God. His name is Invisible. His name is Invincible. His name is Immortal. His name is Interceder. His name is Immutable. His name is Intercessor. His name is Judge. His name is Just. His name is Jealous. His name is Jehovah Jireh, My Provider. His name is Kind. His name is King of Kings. His name is Knowing. His name is Love. His name is Lamb of God. His name is Light. His name is Life. His name is Leader. His name is Lord of Lords. His name is Lily of the Valley. His name is Lion of the Tribe of Judah. His name is Living Word. His name is Long-Suffering. His name is Lover. His name is Lovely. His name is Lamp. His name is Master. His name is Mediator. His name is Merciful. His name is Minister. His name is Mighty. His name is Majesty. His name is Near. His name is Omniscient. His name is Omnipresent. His name is Only Begotten Son. His name is Omega. His name is Offering. His name is Offerer. His name is Prince of Peace. His name is Patient. His name is Prophet. His name is Propitiation. His name is Priest. His name is Passover. His name is Purifier. His name is Powerful. His name is Present. His name is Patient. His name is Precious. His name is Quickener. His name is Righteous. His name is Right. His name is Redeemer. His name is Refiner. His name is Resurrection. His name is Refuge. His name is Ransom. His name is Root of David. His name is Ruler. His name is Revealer. His name is Refining Fire. His name is Rock of Ages. His name is Rose of Sharon. His name is Sacrifice. His name is Sovereign. His name is Slow to Anger. His name is Strength. His name is Shepherd. His name is Servant. His name is Spirit. His name is Surety. His name is Safety. His name is Sanctification. His name is Shield. His name is Savior. His name is Sufferer. His name is Truth. His name is Teacher. His name is Tender-hearted. His name is Treasure. His name is Upholder. His name is Unsearchable. His name is Unerring. His name is Uplifter. His name is Unchanging. His name is Victorious. His name is Wonderful. I said His name is Wonderful. I said His name is Wonderful. His name is Way. His name is Wisdom. His name is Worthy. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. What a name. What a name. Please stand to your feet. And please be in an attitude of prayer this morning. Maybe there's somebody here that's not saved. You've never been born again. You know the name of Jesus, but you've never believed on that name. You've never believed on the name of the Son of God for eternal, everlasting life. If that's your case this morning, would you please raise your hand so that I can pray for you? Is there anybody here this morning that say, I'm not saved? I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I don't know where I'm going when I die, but I would like to know. Please pray for me. Is there anybody like that this morning? All right, Christian. We're going to have a song of invitation here in just a short few minutes. Maybe the name of Jesus hasn't meant as much to you as it should. Maybe in the message this morning, God spoke into your heart and God has convicted you about maybe being ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ. I know it's not easy to talk to people about the Lord. It's not easy for me. I'm a pastor. Should you think it would be easy for me to talk to people about the Lord? It's not. It's never easy. But God can give you the strength. God can give you the boldness that you need to tell others about Him if you'll ask Him, if you'll make yourself available to Him. Listen, the name of Jesus is not a name that we as Christians should be ashamed of. His name is wonderful. His name is powerful. And sinners in this town, sinners who are crippled, sinners who are captive, sinners who are confused, can be made free upon believing in the name of Jesus Christ. May God help us as Christians to be the witnesses and the testimonies that He wants us to be. Maybe you're here this morning, you're a Christian, you say, I've not been the witness that I know God wants me to be. I've kind of been ashamed of His name at times, and even when people have sworn and taken His name in vain, I've not rebuked them. I've not told them, that's my Savior's name. Don't talk about Him like that. Don't use His name like that. I think every one of us here has been in that situation. I know I have. And I've, at times, not responded in the right way. Maybe you're here this morning and say, Pastor, pray for me. I want the name of Jesus to mean something to me. And I want people to see Christ in me. Maybe you'd raise your hand and say, please pray for me. That is my prayer. That is my desire this morning. Anybody at all? I see that hand. Thank you. Anybody else? I want the name of Jesus to mean something to me. I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? Lord, I pray, God, that You would bless this invitation time this morning. And Lord, I pray, God, that as You have, Lord, dealt with us and spoken to our hearts, God, this morning, that we would now yield ourselves to You. In this area, Lord, of preaching and teaching in Your name, and telling others about You and about Your Son and about the salvation that is found only in Him. And Lord, I pray that others in this town would see Christ living in us. When they look on us, I pray that they would see a difference in our lives. A difference, a change that can only be attributed to the power and working of God in our lives. Lord, have Your own way this morning. In Your name we pray. Amen. Let's turn in our hymnals this morning to, I believe it's 481. Have Thine Own Way, or 581? 591. That was close. 591. Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. And I pray that this song would be a prayer of yours as we sing it. Look at the altar's open. You need to come and do business with God. We want you to come as we sing this song. 591. Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Thank you.
So much. You all dismissed. God bless you.